This is Donald Hussig with Loving the Earth Environmental Revolution. Joining us today from the Bronx is William C. Edstrom. Bill has an interest in cancer prevention that goes very deep. He's very also interested in the matter of using the political system to bring change. So he started thinking and then started writing and then started promoting what he calls the Cancer Elimination Act. Bill is here with us, and we also have Lou Shepard, a founding member of Cancer Action New York. I've been working with Lou since January of 2000, now over 13 years. We have been working away, slugging away at making prevention the main event rather than anything else. And there's a lot of the anything else to discuss, and we'll get started on that. Let's you guys introduce yourselves, please. Hold it.
Hi, my name is Bill Edstrom, and I'm one of the co-authors of the Cancer Elimination Act. I also have an advanced graduate degree in biotechnology from Columbia University, and I've published seven or eight scientific research publications in scientific journals, co-authored seven or eight journal reports in scientific journals.
And I'm Lou Shepard. I'm currently retired, but I did work 32 years for one of the major chemical companies, and most of the time that I was doing chemical analytical work in that company. And I've been working with Don Hussig since 2000 on cancer action, and we are working towards preventing cancer.
Preventing cancer is the word, and this is where we get into the meat, the real kernel of this particular program. This program is all about what people are talking about, what they're saying, and then what they're thinking, what they're saying, and what they're doing. And this thing of talking is so powerfully a matter of human behavior and brain changes and having things move. There is a dialogue on cancer in our country, and thus far it has been so much about money for the research for the cure. And the way the money is accumulated oftentimes is lap sets or, canoe gatherings on Adirondack ponds or relays for life and walkathons and these many things that the average person can certainly get into and do. And they're talking about the cure. Well, the truth of the matter is, and we're going to just try to just make this so clear and just to kind of butt it down and get at the very kernel of this. There's scientific knowledge about carcinogens and minimizing exposure to those carcinogens through a number of strategies involved in what we would call cancer elimination. That is what we need to be talking about to get that done. And then rather than finding a cure and treating cancer, there'll be no need for that. We will not have caused cancer. Cancer won't exist. It will be eliminated because we'll have dealt with it from a scientific approach. So, Bill, let's start off with you. Tell the listeners a little bit about the Cancer Elimination Act, and then tell them about your experiences in trying to promote that act with some very, very, preeminent high school students here in down there in New York.
Sure. I've reached out to my elected officials, too, at the federal level. The Cancer Elimination Act is currently a 12-page document. It's in the review process for editing, for fact-checking, for editing, and it may turn out to be longer, 15 pages, 20, 25 pages. Currently, it's a 12-page document. It's on the Internet, cancereliminationact.wordpress.com. There's also a Facebook page. What it is we now, at this point in time in the year 2013, we have the resources, we have the know-how, we have the technology to eliminate cancer. We have a list. The American Chemical Society has a list of about 70 million chemicals, most of which have not been tested for as to whether or not they're carcinogens. We test all of the 70 million chemicals that are known to find out which ones are carcinogens. It's estimated about 1% are carcinogens. Once we have this list, we have an even shorter list of the ones that are currently in use. We invest in innovation. We find safe alternatives to these carcinogens. We phase out these bad chemicals. We phase out the carcinogens that cause cancer, that kills people. Phase out the carcinogens, phase in the safe alternatives. Next up, we do the first ever survey of the environment where every mile, mile by mile, we test the earth, the air, you know, a point below the ground, a point at the surface, and a point above the surface every mile to get the first ever map of toxins and their concentrations. With the first ever map of toxins, which include carcinogens, we have this map. We create jobs. We create a million jobs. We hire a million people to do a total cleanup of the environment using filtration and separation to separate out the carcinogens and to leave behind the pure soil, pure air, pure water. And this way, what happens is $2.4 trillion later and 80 years later, by the end of the century, there's no more cancer. There's no more carcinogens being manufactured. There's no more carcinogens being distributed. There's no more carcinogens being used. They've been outlawed. And we have an environment that is completely free of carcinogens. We eliminate cancer. And I've reached out. There's here in the Bronx, for example, the one of the most highly ranked elite public high schools in the country is the Bronx High School of Science, which is supposed to have some of the brightest, you know, best and brightest minds in science amongst our youth here in the New York City. They have a group called the Bronx Science Cancer Society. And, you know, I came across this group at on the internet, and I posted to their group, hey, I have the Cancer Elimination Act. It's currently being edited, and everyone's welcome to, you know, read it, comment on it, edit it, do fact-checking, you know, help out to, you know, promote it and to make it happen. And I was surprised. There was no response. A month or two went by, and, you know, then I posted again a little more detailed, as inviting, you know, as possible. You know, please read this 12-page act. It's a way that we can eliminate cancer. And I'd love to get the feedback from, you know, people, you know, with a scientific background or without a scientific background. Everyone is welcome. And still, just no response. I came across this one feature at a social media site like Facebook, and I was able to see that 70 of the students who are part of the Bronx Science Cancer Society actually read my post inviting them to read the Cancer Elimination Act and to comment on it and to edit it and to fact-check it. And out of the 70, you know, members of the Bronx Science Cancer Society, not even one provided any feedback. Not even one read it. Maybe they read it. I don't know. No one did any fact-checking that I know of. No one gave any feedback. No one gave any comments. Nobody in the Bronx Science Cancer Society has done anything to promote it. But at the same time, they have weekly, you know, messages that come out on the email, like cupcake sale, and it's mandatory. You must bake at least 25 cupcakes, and you must sell at least 20 cupcakes. And, you know, mandatory, there's a letter drive. You must write 5 letters to elderly people asking them to give money, and you must give that money to the American Cancer Society, and you must do another cupcake sale, and you must give that money to the American Cancer Society, and you have to gather things in your house, and you have to have a, we have to have another, they have to have another tag sale to get more money to give to the American Cancer Society, and then they have to do the run for the cure and the walk for the cure and get people to sign up to pay $1 a mile or $2 a mile or $5 a mile to get more money, to give more money to the American Cancer Society. And all of their activities are so focused on, you know, getting money to give to the American Cancer Society. And I'm amazed at all the time and effort that they put into their cupcake sales and their walk for the cure and their run for the cure and the tag sales and writing letters to, you know, older people to ask them for money for the American Cancer Society. And it's just money, money, money. Must get more money to give to the American Cancer Society. And all this time that they're doing, you know, getting money and more money for the American Cancer Society, and not even one of them can take an hour to read the Cancer Elimination Act. You know, fortunately, other people have. I've reached out to Senator Schumer and Senator Gillibrand, the two senators from New York State. I've reached out to my congressman, who's Congressman Crowley, asking them to sponsor this legislation and to do the work needed to get this legislation passed and funded so that we can enact and we can start implementing and fulfilling the Cancer Elimination Act to just eliminate cancer. I've also gotten feedback from other people of all sorts of backgrounds from most continents in the world telling me, you know, they love it, they think it's great. I have a few comments from people who are actually opposed to this part or that part, but right now during the comment period, this is actually what I want. I want the feedback from people. They like this section, they don't like this section, they love it all. They, you know, found that this fact is actually there's, you know, 70,280,000 chemicals instead of 70 million chemicals. That's what it's for now, and I'm glad that there is some momentum building and that there is the feedback coming, you know, that people are getting on board and it's starting to get more steam and more progress is being made toward the enactment of the Cancer Elimination Act, which will eliminate cancer. So that's an overview of the
yes.
Cancer Elimination Act, Don.
What we have been talking about is the mindset, the kind of like the status quo maintaining mainstream society views, thoughts, words on the cancer problem. And it's been, I believe, and Lou believes, and we are hopeful that more and more people will see the light on this. It appears to me that this raising money for finding a cure is likely to have resulted from nothing other than the financial interests of the corporations that use carcinogens or at least some, you know, as a result of their activities into the environment, you know, pollution that causes cancer, chemical carcinogens that are emitted from smokestacks and go out wastewater discharges. It appears more and more to be the case that this thing of only talking about raising money for research that will find a cure for cancer is just this thing of getting people focused on that part of the cancer matter rather than the suffering and the need to make this disappear, to eliminate it, and to think about the science that exists and say, yeah, chemical carcinogens and agent carcinogens such as EMF and, you know, radionuclides.
It's a distraction. It's a purposeful distraction. Yeah.
Exactly. So let's talk now. Samuel Epstein, MD, wrote a book about this very thing, and I'm quite certain it's been around for some considerable period of time. Lou has read the book, and I've read considerable parts of it there at Lou's house when I'm there with Lou just working on our work here. Tell the listeners, Lou, something about that book that Epstein wrote and his views. He called it criminal disinterest in cancer in prevention.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the title of this book is National Cancer Institute and American Cancer Society, with a subtitle of Criminal Indifference to Cancer Prevention and Conflicts of Interest. And this is written by Samuel S. Epstein, MD. Okay? And what he... I can't go into everything in this book, but he talks about how the American Cancer Society was organized, and it was organized, I think, in 1913 in New York City, and it was founded by 15 prominent MDs, largely oncologists, and it was incorporated in 1922 by a small group of wealthy businessmen. And it had a different name when they first started it, but... they called it the American Society for the Control of Cancer, And then in 1945 or somewhere around there, they changed the name of it to the American Cancer Society. And within 1 year, $4 million had been raised. And $1 million, which was used to establish a cancer research program shortly afterward, the ACS began a public education campaign, and that public education campaign is in quotes, warning of cancer's danger signals. And these included a sore that does not heal, a change in bowel habits, a faulty lifestyle, such as poor diet. However, there was no consideration whatsoever for any other than well-known avoidable causes of cancer. And they certainly didn't mention any chemicals in that. Okay, so then they just kept raising money, and then 1971 they got President Nixon to declare the war on cancer, and he provided them with about $200,000 through the National Cancer Institute. And so then, mainly what they have been about is really to blame the victim, and it was their faulty lifestyle that caused the cancer. And so they're just not really interested at all in prevention, but part of their what they're supposed to be about, I guess you would call this their statement of purpose, some such thing as that. And they do mention prevention in that, but the kind of prevention that they're talking about is elimination of smoking and different lifestyles that might be contribute to cancer. So then there is a they changed in 1992 the American Cancer Society Foundation was created to allow the ACS to solicit contributions of more than 100,000. A close look at the heavy hitters on the foundation's board made it clear what conflicts of interest were at play and from where a foundation expected its big contributions. And so Dr. Epstein lists the members of the board in 1992 were David R. Bethune, and he was the president of Lederle Laboratories, a multinational pharmaceutical company and a division of American Cyanamide Company. And a Gordon Binder, CEO of Amgen, and the world's most foremost biotechnical company with over $1 billion in product sales. And they produced Neupogen, administered as a chemotherapy. And then there was a multimillionaire, Irvin Beck, whose father, William Henry Beck, founded Beck Stores with a revenue of $1.7 billion in 1993. Then they had Diane Disney Miller, a daughter of the conservative Walt Disney. And then George Desert, famous in media circles for his former role as a censor on family values during the 70s and 80s as CEO of CBS. And then they had Alan Gewirtson, chairman of Boeing.
Boeing billionaire?
Yeah, right, yeah. And then they had Summer Redstone, chairman of Viacom International Broadcasting. See, so they kind of had these big hitters from just about every, from the pharmaceutical companies, from big business, and from the media. So that gave them a big a big punch. And then they spent 30,000 bucks, giving, they gave $30,000 to both the Republicans and the Democrats, and that's kind of against nonprofits, but they have never been really challenged on that. So this is a really interesting book, and I have to backtrack a little bit and say that I think it was practically in the early 70s when I was still working in this chemical company that Dr. Epstein's first book came out about carcinogens, chemical carcinogens. And I took a notice of this to my supervisor, and he was shocked that I would even look at something like that, because that was kind of against the whole deal. You know, if you're working for a chemical company, you got to just use the stuff and not say a word about it. Well, one of the things, another thing I want to say about cancer research is that, in my opinion, there is no such thing and never will be any such thing as a cure for cancer, because there are so many varieties of cancer and the causes are so diverse. And the way the research is going, it's pretty much dictated by the rules set up at the FDA. And one of the problems that people get into, and I think of Dr. Brzezinski, he started out applying for a new drug application for his cancer treatment. And one of the things that he had to do in order to prove effectiveness was to use it, his treatment, on a particular strain of mouse. And, but of course, his treatment would not work on a mouse because it's species specific. And so when rigid rules of cancer research are set up like that, it pretty much stops really good, innovative kinds of treatments that can could do a lot of good. So
we've been talking,
I don't know
about
what else to say about this, but I would certainly recommend to anybody to read this book because it's very informative about the connection between industry, the American Cancer Society, and the National Cancer Institute. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah, the American Cancer Society people get very rich. They say the word cure a lot.
The role of the view on whether cancer is all about raising money for a cure or prevention. And I want to say a little bit about an experience that I've had in this matter of trying to promote prevention. And that's really what this is going to have to evolve into, promoting prevention and promoting the Cancer Elimination Act and promoting this use of scientific knowledge to eliminate cancer rather than find a cure for it. I set about trying to motivate the National Cancer Institute way back in, I think it was 2009, started hot and heavy trying to get the National Cancer Institute, especially this lady by the name of Lenora Johnson is the director of the National Cancer Institute's Office of Communications and Education. And I thought, yes, perfect individual. Communications and education. There we go. Let's just talk about prevention with this lady. So I called her up, and then I was emailing her and just communicating with this person that works for the National Cancer Institute, you know, my federal government, United States of America, what they're doing about cancer. And I quickly discovered that she was hostile to the message that chemicals cause cancer and are involved in any way in cancer other than cigarette smoke. Cigarette smoke is okay. It's okay to say chemicals in cigarette smoke cause cancer, but not the, you know, the pollution, not the chemical carcinogens that are emitted from smokestacks and in wastewater discharges, not the PCBs, not the...
It's a well-established fact that some chemicals are bad chemicals, and some of these bad chemicals are carcinogens. Carcinogens cause cancer.
Exactly.
This is a well-established fact, isn't it?
Yes, and it certainly is, and this is what kind of pissed me off and caused me to feel more and more, you know, intent upon just addressing this, you know, dealing with this lack of interest, this criminal disinterest, as Dr. Epstein put it, in the matter of prevention, and especially when the prevention, they will show some interest in prevention when it's this matter of, you know, kind of blaming the victim and saying you got to, like, exercise more and you got to not drink beer and you got to, you know, not smoke cigarettes. But they are not interested in prevention at all when it's chemicals. And when I just started thinking about why that is the case, it became so clear that it is these business people with this interest in making money off of using chemicals and just maintaining the status quo in the economy and all these various aspects of making money that causes the message and the, kind of like the dialogue, the mindset, the view of the American people who have been shaped in this thing of raising funding for researchers on cures. So I'm talking to Lenora Johnson, and I focused it very tightly. There's a document, well, it's a document series, called the Physicians Data Query. The Physicians Data Query is a series of booklets put out by the National Cancer Institute on, you know, many different anatomical sites of cancers. There's one on lung cancer, there's one on breast cancer. So I focused on the one on breast cancer, and I read the document, and I said to Lenora Johnson, I said, why is there nothing in here about chemicals other than cigarette smoke and maybe alcohol? There may be some mention of alcohol and cigarette smoke, if any chemicals at all. I'm quite certain those probably are in this physician's data query on breast cancer. But nothing about dioxins, nothing about PCBs, nothing about DDT, nothing about cadmium, nothing about these chemical carcinogens that are pollutants, that are chemicals that are used by corporations to make money and enter into our bodies because they're put into products or emitted from smokestacks or wastewater discharges, and they're in the environment, and then they build up in various media, and we get exposed to them. Not any mention whatsoever of that in this document. And I said to her, well, why is this the case? She said, well, that was a decision of our editorial board that creates this particular document. They have all these many, many boards and these many, many people with credentials and, you know, MDs and PhDs and very apparently knowledgeable people on the matter of cancer and what is causing cancer and what to do about it, and yet nothing about the chemical root, you know, the chemicals that damage the DNA that causes the initiation of the cancer cell line that develops into a diagnosable tumor or on a blood cancer or whatever type of cancer it is. Nothing about that other than cigarette smoke and alcohol. And it was so obvious to me from having gone through this in such detail with Lenora Johnson and experienced her hostility toward this message. And it was always like, well, you've provided the information. Thank you. Our board, our editorial board, has your information about dioxins, you know, these recognized breast carcinogens. Thank you. And yet no discussion of how to integrate that information into the document. It was so obvious to me that this is about brainwashing the public because the corporations want the public to be brainwashed when it comes to chemical carcinogens because the corporations did it and they want to keep on doing it and they don't want to be held accountable for it. You know, heaven forbid they'd ever have to pay up any lawsuits or anything for the horrible suffering they've imposed with their poisoning of the earth and the people of the earth with the chemicals that cause cancer. So, you know, our job, I see our job as to change this. Somehow we need to make cancer prevention and cancer elimination and awareness of chemical carcinogens, both avoiding exposure to the ones that are out there and changing the world, changing human behavior. Cancer is caused by people. People cause cancer by carelessly using chemical carcinogens and agent carcinogens. So it's our job. You know, we're three guys that know what's going on here with this. How can we change human experience? You know, how can we change society? What can we do to get people excited about cancer prevention that deals with minimizing exposure to chemical and agent carcinogens?
Our own booklets. That's one way. We have our own booklets. We can put together our own book. Dr. Epstein put out a great book about the corruption at the American Cancer Society that kills people, the negligence, like negligent homicide. So we can put together booklets that tell the truth. We can do more radio interviews, YouTube video interviews that are on the internet, write a book, move forward with the Cancer Elimination Act. I find some people already know. They know about the corruption. They know about the negligence, the negligent manslaughter, the negligent homicide that kills 8 million people a year. They know that there's tens of millions of chemicals. They know most of the chemicals are good. They know there's a small group of chemicals that are bad. Of the bad chemicals, they know that there's a gang, a small group of these bad chemicals called carcinogens, very bad chemicals. These carcinogens cause cancer, and cancer kills people. Let's eliminate these carcinogens, and let's eliminate cancer. So it's that educational message and doing it, trying to get the incorporation into curriculums, trying to move forward with legislative bodies like the European Union's Parliament, with the Congress of the United States of America, the Congress of Canada, China, Australia, to get the Cancer Elimination Act enacted. One of the first steps is having a list. If there's somewhere on the internet that anyone can go to the library or anyone can look at the internet at home, if they have it at home, to look at that list, you know, we test the 70 million chemicals that are known. We get that short list of what are the 700,000 of these chemicals, what are the 1% of these chemicals that are the carcinogens that cause cancer, that kills people. And once we have that list, then the next step is telling people how to test for it, how to identify these bad chemicals, and how to avoid any kind of exposure to it as best as possible. So there's so many ways to move forward, but the radio
there
interview...
There are many ways to move forward, but I'm thinking, I want to just go a little more in deep, kind of like a narrower look. I guess not narrow, that's not the right word, but whatever. I'm thinking about excitement. I really believe that to get this done, we're going to need to be exciting. How can we do all those things you're saying in an exciting way? And sure, it is nice to have booklets. It's nice to have books. But I just kind of feel like, why couldn't we make it more exciting than just booklets and books? You know, that's a good way for people to bring change. But there's exciting ways, too. There's rock concerts. There's truly, you know, say, for example, it's just the first thing that kind of jumps into my mind that certainly would be exciting is that there was some Robin Hood of the environment out there that was, you know, robbing these rich people and giving the money to the poor people to educate about how they can avoid their exposure to the poison that the rich people put out there in the environment, you know, in the rivers, the PCBs and the fish, and in the mainstream food supply, the many persistent organic pollutants in the animal fat and the exhaust, you know, the very exhaust that comes from all our fossil fuel driven vehicles. We're breathing benzene and formaldehyde and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, well-recognized human carcinogens. It's just all there. I just feel like, why can't we just do something really exciting about this? You know, there's three of us. We could have this gang of cancer activists that just ran around doing exciting things in our America and caught people's attention and got them excited, and then they would talk more about cancer elimination and carcinogens if it was exciting. If we could get Lady Gaga to adopt a chemical carcinogen and just, you know, do a whole CD about that chemical, there's plenty of information there, all the different uses of it and which cancers it causes and how much it's been studied and how much industry has tried to suppress the message. She could do a great CD on some particular chemical carcinogen. I'd like to see her do one on dioxin. Do you guys have any thoughts on exciting ways to move forward on cancer elimination and cancer prevention and changing what people are saying and also thinking about cancer? You know, just to get past this dumb, boring crap of Relays for Life and Lapsits for Cancer Research Funding.
Group meetings, set up a great website where local chapters can register. You know, just build and they'll come. Just build the website and just build the place where people, you know, click here for your country, your state, your city, your town, and find the nearest meeting and have, you know, good meetings where people can get together, have a good time, celebrity promoters.
Lou and I tried. You can't imagine how many times we had a Cancer Action New York meeting in the Unitarian Universalist Church basement in Canton, New York. We would sit there and we'd wait, and the people just didn't come. And then, mm-hmm. then Lou and I went to SUNY Potsdam College, and we had information tables, and we'd sit there. And we, you know, occasionally a student would come over and say something to us, but they never, you know, they never said, well, let's start a chapter on campus and let's have, you know, let's have the real stuff, you know, the prevention is the cure, the chemicals cause chemical carcinogens and agent carcinogens cause cancer message. Let's just get out there and turn the biology department here at SUNY Potsdam College and the chemistry department, too, into these cancer prevention warriors. You know, just really ramp this up and just go wild on dealing with this huge, horrible problem that never happened. For some reason,
We can start the Cancer Elimination Act ourselves. We can already start on this road and move down this 80-year road to completing and fulfilling the elimination of cancer. We can find the investment, and we have the scientific background. I have the biologist background. Lou has the chemist background, and you have a combination of biology and chemistry in your background. We can actually, you know, rent a lab or start a lab and just start testing the 70 million chemicals one by one to get that list of what's carcinogenic.
Yeah.
There's also separation techniques that we can then pick the first spot where we're going to survey, and we do the survey 50 feet under at ground level and 50 feet above ground, or, you know, 10 feet below ground, at ground, or 6 foot under ground level and 6 feet above ground, and get those three readings and do the test, like what chemicals are here, what carcinogens are here, and have this map on the internet that anyone can click on, you know, find out what carcinogens are in your neighborhood and what the concentrations are. From there, there's separation techniques. There's filtration techniques and separation techniques, which have advanced with the Love Canal and Superfund sites like the Love Canal, that once we identify these carcinogens, we can separate out the carcinogens and we can do the cleanup ourselves. So this might be one of the best ways to go forward. Instead of, you know, lobbying and asking our congresspeople and our senators, you know, please make this bill happen, and asking people in Canada and Europe and Asia and Africa and Latin America, that parliaments all over the world and congresses all over the world make it happen, we can actually start it ourselves. The three of us have the scientific background. We can start testing these 70 million chemicals that are known one by one and making that list of which ones are the bad ones. The bad chemicals are the carcinogens. The carcinogens cause cancer. Cancer kills people. Let's make that list so people know. Let's have it at a website, and let's have meetings, you know, chapters around the world, and meetings so that we can tell people, these are the names of different carcinogens. This is how you can identify them. And when you identify it, it's like you just identified, you know, someone with a gun at your head. Get away from it as, you know, as best as you can. You know, protect yourself. Okay. And then from there, once it is identified, people don't just have to, you know, run as far as they can from the carcinogens to protect their health, protect their loved ones, protect their lives. We have the cleanup methodologies. We know how to do the cleanup. We know how to do the separation and the filtration to isolate these carcinogens, bake them into small bricks and contain it into, you know, hermetically sealed lead containers that then get, you know, buried in places. We can do the Cancer Elimination Act ourselves.
That'd be very good. We should pick a place in America where we would, you know, just do these steps, you know, just do the work of eliminating, you know, the carcinogens there.
Yeah.
The cleanup thing is very, very compelling. It's very visible. The testing thing, that's, you know, that's okay, and it needs done too. It's another piece of this. But maybe even
we have to know which chemicals are the good chemicals and which chemicals are the bad chemicals.
But say maybe even if we did, if we could even accomplish doing even a piece as large as just say pointing to the fact that these particular chemical carcinogens are present in this particular place, and then pointing to the fact that this does not have to continue to be that way, that they can be removed from there by the various technologies. And then that place can be a carcinogen-free place, you know, to the extent that, you know, say, there'd be some naturally occurring carcinogens anywhere, but that level of the carcinogens in the environment would not cause cancer because people's bodies can handle that much exposure. If we could, say, create a cancer-free place, you know, a carcinogen, you know, a clean place where the carcinogens were not present at unnatural levels as people have caused them to be, that'd be a really cool thing to have accomplished, an exciting thing to have accomplished for, you know, moving forward on the Cancer Elimination Act. And it truly could be done by a small, dedicated group of people, you know, that we could potentially, you know, kind of spin off, you know, and you know, create, you know, bring about the existence of, you know. That'd be a cool thing to do, you know. Any ideas, Lou, on where you would want to do this?
One of the ideas that I have on this subject is, if you, it's one big task to determine carcinogenesis of chemicals, because it requires, up to this point anyway, it's been animal feeding studies that is required to do. To determine if a compound or chemical is a carcinogen. And mm-hmm. that's a pretty darn expensive kind of a thing to do.
And thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars, and it takes a lot of time. So when you're talking about millions of chemicals, why, you've got to come up with another way to do this. And
The Cancer Elimination Act would cost $2.4 trillion.
Yeah.
It includes the estimate for the testing.
Sure, right.
On an individual basis, we can pick our first chemical, and if we find a lab that will do the test over 2 years for $10,000, at least we know, okay, it's going
to
be $10,000. It's
going to
take 2 years.
Yeah, right.
And then
we
need to get that $10,000, and we do the first test. Same thing
sure.
with finding the first place we're going to do a survey. What's the first place we're going to do a survey of the ground, the surface, and the air? What exactly are we going to survey for? We have to get a list of carcinogens we'll survey for.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to figure out the pricing. How much is that testing going to cost? And then do the testing.
Yeah.
The next step is how much is the filtration and the separation going to cost?
Sure.
And how much would it cost to hermetically seal the carcinogens in a lead container and you know, ship it off to Yucca Mountain?
Yeah, right.
If you imagine, can you imagine just doing that? Say if we were to do that for St. Lawrence County.
Another thought I have on the subject is that if you can determine what the chemicals are, and then you look at who made those chemicals, and then go back to the chemical manufacturers and that, you know, they would be made by perhaps only one or two chemical companies, you know. So then you go back to those companies and say, okay, these chemicals are carcinogens and they're in the environment. It's now up to you to
clean up after yourself.
Figure out how to get them out of the environment and eliminate them.
Clean up the mess you made,
Yeah, right.
Yep,
clean up the mess you made. And in the process of doing this, make it pretty difficult for any chemical company to put a chemical out on the market unless it's thoroughly tested first.
That's part of the Cancer Elimination Act. Any new chemicals, you have to apply for a permit, application fee to pay for the testing. You have to wait 2 years for the testing to complete to get that answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
sure.
you have a good chemical, or no, you have a bad chemical.
Yep.
This is a carcinogen.
Mm-hmm.
It would cause cancer. It would kill people.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
that's right.
I'm thinking that our program is probably nearly the hour point, and I'd like to keep it to an hour because then there's a better opportunity. I actually have a radio station over in Vermont that will broadcast it if it's no more than an hour.
Okay.
I think we're closing in on that. We've had a very good discussion here. And I'm sure that if people would listen to this, if people would listen to what the three of us have said, there would be some more people that wanted to join into cancer elimination. And that's what this is all about. You know, we've done our due diligence here and created another little tiny step forward.
Yep.
Thanks, Lou. And thanks, Bill.
Okay.
This has been great.
Thank you,
we need
Tom.
To get
Thank
together
you.
More often and do this similar thing to take some more steps forward. I think a good one would be let's do another program once we've decided upon where the cancer elimination is going to come down, you know, where we're going to set about doing the Cancer Elimination Act. Is that good?
That's a good plan. It's a very good plan.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay,
this has
thank
been
you.
Loving the Earth Environmental Revolution. Bill Edstrom from the Bronx and Lou Shepherd from Canton up here in the north part of New York State. Donald Hussey from Colton. Three New Yorkers talking about the real stuff, talking about the truth, talking about the reality, talking about the need for great change. Chemicals cause cancer, and we can do something about that. The years have passed by, and the science has accumulated. We know some chemicals cause cancer. We know some chemicals don't. We know that we can test for carcinogenicity. We know that we can clean up. We know there are technologies. We know there is our ways of raising money to do these various things. We'll put the American Cancer Society to work, raising money for cleaning up the mess that they and the corporations have caused by misleading people all these years. That'd be a good one. This is Donald Hussey with Loving the Earth Environmental Revolution. Viva the revolution.